You are listening to the Improv Saved My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 91 of the Improv Saved My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. Two guests this week from the Studio 40 team, Mud Hut. We have Will Gianetta. What's going on, Will?
How are you?
Doing good, thanks. And Kate Hopkins. What's going on, Kate?
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Good.
Cool. Guys have some dates coming up. You have Studio 40 most Fridays at 7 p.m. at Improv Boston. You also have dates coming up at the Riot Theater in Jamaica Plain on July 31st and August 14th. And you will also be participating in BAIT, the Boston Annual Improv Tournament, at the Regent Theater in Arlington on August 16th. And then Kate will most likely be doing a two-person group at Maggie's Lounge at What Else Are You Gonna Do Wednesday on August 5th.
Yep, with Chris Madden.
Nice.
Yes.
So let's just go through your improv and general backgrounds a little bit. Will, where are you from originally?
I'm from Scarborough, Maine. It's right near Portland, 5 minutes outside, so it's very much similar to anyone in Massachusetts, anything like that.
And, Scarborough County, is that a thing? There's a...
I want to say Scarborough Country might be like a Fox News show with a guy named Joe Scarborough. Because like he spells it the same way as my town. And whenever I see the name pop up, I'm always like, oh, Scarborough. I'm like, oh, wait, this is like not what I'm into.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just heard the term. Like, I don't know what it means, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's either that or Scarborough Fair is the other thing you get a lot when you're from Scarborough, Maine. But yeah, I grew up there. I came to Boston in 2008, went to Berklee College of Music, graduated there.
Instrument?
So I play electric bass is my principal instrument there. And then I did a program in contemporary writing and production, it's called, which is very broad, recording and writing music for any, you know, advertisement or film or anything like that, anywhere you would need music. And so I work in restaurants now because I have a music degree and I do improv.
Cool. How'd you find yourself getting into improv?
I've always been a big comedy fan. I think like most people, you didn't really know improv was a thing until a certain age, unless everyone has the Who's Line, like exposure to it. But what really got me into it, I guess, was podcasts. I started listening to like Comedy Bang Bang and... then I found Improv for Humans and got into Super Ego recently. And once you get into those and learn about that rotating cast of like LA comics, you realize like, oh, what they're doing is making things up. And then you figure out where they went to school and research all that. And you're like, oh, there's a whole subworld culture of comedy here that is awesome. And then eventually just got up the nerve to be like, I'm going to take classes. Did that for like a year and then finally signed up and just said, I got to, you know, meet some people and start doing this.
Nice. So you went through the IB training center?
Yeah, I'm towards the end of it now. Yeah, so I signed up at IB. I think I just had like it's been a year since I started taking classes. So we're all in 501. Everyone in Mud Hut except Juliet, I think, is currently in the same 501. And then I'm signed up for 601. But I got to look at the scheduling for that because the dates they had there, they did two sessions. They're both on Thursday and they're at like 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing it with my work schedule right now, but currently enrolled in that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I've had trouble. Like, I took level one at IB, and, like, I want to keep going through the training center, but, like, just the times sometimes are, like, I can't make, like, the after work ones because they start, like, real early. Like, some of them start, like, 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and to be anywhere near Mass Ave or Cambridge, like during those commute times, like I'll run right over from work. Like, no, you won't. Not at all. You won't. But I was talking to someone at the school about it because I got squeezed out when I was trying to sign up for 301. It just filled up too quickly.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're always sold out. Like, you almost have to be like waiting for them to post. And then,
oh, I've been setting alarms ever since then. I wake up when they go on sale like 8 a.m.
Refresh.
So I leave the window open on my laptop, set an alarm for 7:55, get up and click the thing, and then go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But I was talking to, I think it was David Marino, was just saying it's like a space issue. It just, there's not enough room there for, you know, what they're, the amount of classes, because I was saying I know tons of people that want to take these classes and can't get in sometimes. Like, it's just space and time.
It's a good problem to have for them, I guess. Mm-hmm. More demand than...
Absolutely.
So how have you found the experience going through the training center, having previous experience performing music?
So that part was really nice, like just being on stage. And so it's totally different when you're talking, but at least you're familiar with the idea of, like, I'm going to be in front of people. Like, they're going to judge me. I'm okay with that. I've had just wonderful experience at the training center. I'm looking into, like, taking classes at IA just for a whole nother, you know, side of things. Everyone seems to say that they're great over there as well. Mm-hmm. I just kind of picked the closer one that worked with my schedule. But the community at that school has been fantastic. Everyone's so supportive. Every teacher I've had has been tremendous. It's just all around good things to say.
Yeah, I've said this on the podcast before, but I've only met a few people through, like, my 2+ years in the improv community in Boston that, like, I was like, these people are jerks. Like, for the most part, like, 99.9% are just really nice people that are all in it, you know, with the same intention, like, trying to be supportive and just trying to have fun and have good stuff.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing community. It's amazing.
Even, like, it shows, like, you know, Studio 40 last night, I'm looking out in the crowd and I saw, like, teachers that I've had at the school, and, like, they're, you know, maybe they happen to know someone who's in the show, but I know that, you know, Studio 40 is, like, designed to foster teams and give teams more experience and help them grow. So it's not like, hey, it's my Friday night. Like, you know, you might think people would be like, oh, I'm going to go see the main stage or whatever big show's on. It's like, no, teachers will come hang out and see, you know, any level show. They just, I think they're just into it genuinely and, like, want to come see it. It's awesome.
Cool.
Absolutely.
And Kate, where are you from originally?
I'm from Whitman, Massachusetts, which is right next to Brockton, about 30 or 40 minutes from Boston. And I have lived in Massachusetts this whole time.
Me too.
Brief interlude in London, but for the most part, I've just been in Massachusetts the whole time.
I've lived in Dorchester my whole life, so.
I was born in Dorchester.
Nice.
OMT.
Those are actual bumper stickers they sell.
Oh, really?
OFD, yeah. Well, there's OFD, which generally implies you've left Dorchester, but you were originally from Dorchester. And there's DBC, which is Dorchester by choice.
It's like a political euphemism.
Yeah.
It's
well,
an extremist act.
There's a lot of, like, people that get up in arms when people move out of Dorchester. Like, you're not really necessarily supposed to live in the same town you're all in.
Gotta leave.
Yeah.
Did you come from a big family?
I came from a big extended family. I am, and also, so I'm the oldest of 3 kids, but I grew up in a house with my aunt and uncle and their 3 kids too. So I was the oldest of 6 kids living in the same house. So it was like a lot of running around craziness. And then both my parents come from big families. So cousins, big parties every Sunday, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you find yourself getting into comedy?
I was super into stand-up and comedy for about, I would say, probably like 6 or 7 years. Kind of like in my mid-20s, I started getting really into it. And I was listening to podcasts, too, all the time. And I was always just like, I love it so much, but I never really thought about doing it, ever. I don't know why. And then one day, I was just, like, feeling really like adventurous. So I called into one of my favorite podcasts and I had a little chat with
what was that?
Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo. Pardo. Jimmy Pardo. He's probably listening to this. So I called in and we had like a little chat. After that, randomly, some guy who was listening to the podcast just found me on Facebook. And he...
That's weird.
I know. It is weird.
Wow.
It is weird. And he was just... He just, like, found me on Facebook, and he was like, hey, I just want to let you know, you should do improv. And I was like, okay. And then I signed up for a class that minute.
Wow.
Have you kept in touch with this person?
I we're friends on Facebook now. I should probably thank him. So it was just like a rant. I was just like, you know what? I'm just... Okay, I'll do it. And then I was just, And then I went to my first class, and I had never been on stage before, and I was really, really nervous. But then I just fell in love with it, and it was awesome. And then, again, the community is so nice, and I met, like, the best people.
Nice. So you guys met in class?
We actually met, so Mike, Chris, and I, and Alex, and Juliet, and Rob all started Mud Hut, and then Rob was like, right before we were going to have our first practice, basically, mm-hmm. Rob was like, I'm going to invite this guy, Will. And we were just like, okay.
I had sent like a super late night, probably slightly intoxicated thing to Rob because I wanted to start an indie group. And like, I wasn't getting everything I wanted out of class. Like the teachers I had were great and everything, but it's like, oh, we're doing this once a week. You know, anything else you want to get good at? Like,
yeah.
If you want to play guitar, you know, go play guitar for 2 hours a week and then like call it a day.
Yeah.
You practice every single day. I was like, I need more of this. I need like a more polished, like a group that I can really like hit it hard with.
Yeah.
And so I just sent him like, Rob, like I love improvising, man. Like we should start an indie team. That would be great. And he was just like, got back and he's like, oh, I'm about to start an indie team with people. Why don't you come along? And I just went to the practice and we all just clicked immediately.
It was like magic.
Yeah.
It was just so, you know, cause you never know. And then he came in and we just are all, thing about Mudhug, which is so lovely, is like, we're all the same amount of enthusiastic, crazy, kind people, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's super nice, like just the nicest group of people I've encountered.
I mean, they all are. We're, you know, I don't want to say how kind we are, but yeah, it's a wonderful group, and Will just fit in immediately, and it was great chemistry.
And you have Sarah Jane Burns as
yes.
coach.
Yes.
She was just on the podcast last week.
Yeah,
she loves you guys.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
Good things.
Yeah, and she was amazing too because I feel like the first time she saw us, she really understood like how we worked and what kind of people we were, and she didn't try to change us at all. She tried to make us better at being us, which I think just like really we really responded to, and it's been a great experience working with her. I think we've all grown exponentially.
Oh, yeah. Just going back and looking at just the Studio 40 run we've been doing for a couple months now. It's like the first one to this one, the growth is already just like so big.
That's
and she's a huge part of that.
And she's the one who convinced us to try out for Studio 40 because we had only 3 practices as a group. And we actually had never performed, all of us, until our first show.
We were super, super green going into that. We were just like, hey, we'll get one under our belt and do it for the experience.
Yeah.
And we just happened to have a great rehearsal. A great audition.
Yeah, we really lucked out.
How's the Studio 40 run been going?
I love it.
It's great. It's, yeah.
It's a really supportive audience. It's really, it's 20 minutes. It's just really perfect. I feel like our format is getting tighter and tighter each time we do it. And we just have so much fun. And we get to hang out after. It's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah. Mike and Claire have been great, too. Like, there's definitely an understanding going in that it's like, because Studio 40 is designed for veteran teams that have done it for several seasons, there's going to be green teams, too. And we're very much like, you know, you're the token green team going into this. This is to foster your growth and to help you guys out. And it's like a tremendous opportunity. We're so thankful to have it.
Unbelievably grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've really been like engaging in that part of it.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing promotion stuff online that we haven't done before. Well,
yes.
I guess we didn't have the opportunity to, but like as a new indie team, it's like learning how to make posters so often and make Facebook events and make sure that like you're being clear about when and where things are that you'd think like, oh, no, duh. But like, you know, you make up a poster and people are like, hey, you didn't put the time on it. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Thanks. This is a learning experience all around.
We're just insanely grateful. I feel like that's like, we go in every time we perform, all of us just feel like so lucky to have the opportunity to do it. And we just put all of our heart into it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What do you guys do as a structure?
We start off with a line game, usually 185, and then we do about 10 minutes based on those suggestions, and then we usually break it up either like in the last half of the show with Sex With Me, and then we do a more scene work on that. So it's good for the energy of the show, I think, because and also it's just because we're new, I think that, you know, we are all kind of excel at line games, so it works to our advantage. Like if we're having some scenes that are not so hot, we can kind of turn it around.
Get the energy back.
Yeah, get the energy
like
back
that.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's billed as free form with inspired by line games.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was I gonna say about that? I can't remember. But we have a lot of fun with line games, and I think it's nice too. Because of like the Studio 40 environment, it's a lot of like bringing our friends and family in, like because we're trying to advertise to you know, to pack that little room there, and it's people who aren't super familiar with improv. And I personally feel like when you're introducing it to someone and you're like, hey, come watch my Herald, it's kind of like hard for them to pick up on the structure and not understanding organic games. So it's a really good format for like introducing people to improv, where it's like, you're going to see, like, in the most simple sense, here's a suggestion, here's how we made a funny out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, now see how we take that concept or premise and make, like, a longer thing out of it. So I think it's been really successful for that room in the audience we've been bringing.
It's also good for our energy as a team. We're kind of what's a nice word to put it? A hectic energy.
So
line games are good for that kind of energy. It's just like, it's good for us to just kind of be like, wow, let's go crazy, say crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have a slight advantage when it comes to the bait tournament, because one of the portions is line games.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It's going to be, I think it's like 12 minutes of long form, 5 minutes of short form, and a 2-minute line game that you get judged on. And I'm doing it with Laura, doing monotone,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, how the hell are we going to do a
two-person line
game?
That's a
yeah.
difficult
one. You guys are just going to have to be as sharp as you possibly can. Drink a lot of coffee.
Is it going to be, are they going to select line games for you?
No, you
get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, so basically, with all three portions, it's up to you to choose what you want to do to
stand out.
So yeah.
Who are the judges?
So the preliminary rounds, which will be the Sundays preceding the finals, it's audience participation.
Okay.
The judges, I can't really announce.
Got it.
On the air.
Got it.
I can tell you afterwards.
Got it. We'll talk off air.
But there should be an announcement coming out soon, and they are cool judges.
Oh, cool. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited if we make it that far.
Kate, I think I first saw you in Hooverville, which honestly I didn't know what to expect going in.
No one did.
It was really good, really, really good.
I've never had more fun. Besides my hut. It's so fun.
That cast was stacked. I didn't get to see the show. It was at the Riot, and I work in JP, and I kept trying to get out of work and get over there, but I never got to see it. But I just could tell from the cast that's there. That's like, oh, yeah, that had to be a good show.
Oh, it was incredible. And to be able to work with Johnny as a director and then, like, to be able to do scene work with someone like Joe Creedon was crazy awesome.
Mm.
It was awesome. And meeting Laura, she was just – everyone in that cast was so talented. I feel like I learned so much.
Yeah, it was a super talented cast. I was surprised that Eric, that was his first show, because I thought he was a wily vet.
He was great, wasn't he?
He was very good.
He's probably one of the nicest people you could ever meet as well.
You were very good as well. You you do a good, like, retro character.
yeah.
We're always trying to pimp Kate into, like, just,
wow,
like,
what you got there going?
Yeah, this train looks like it has a mystery murder on it. Just...
Someone murdered on this train.
Yeah.
Everybody shut the doors.
It's such a, like, specific affect to speak in.
That's all I want to do, basically, is just solve murders in the
1930s.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I love doing that show. I thought it was really, really fun, and like the format was really, really fun, and Johnny was such a great director, and that was my first audition. It was before I got cast on Studio 40, and it was even before I think Mudhot has had its first practice, so I felt really lucky and grateful that he took a chance on me, so I was just, you know, a nobody.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he does next, because I was very impressed by that show.
Yeah, and he got some great talent out, great talent for it. I would love to be a part of anything he ever does. He was great. Such a supportive, kind guy.
I agree. He's never supported me in any way. I can see it.
Yes. You can imagine it.
Let's see. Where you guys are currently in your improv or just comedy careers in general, how do you feel? Like, where do you ultimately want to go?
That's a great question. You want to take this first?
I'll take this one for Kate.
Okay.
Kate wants to. I feel really good about where we are. Like I was saying, with Studio 40, I feel like we are totally growing.
Yeah.
Like, we're just doing the reps and getting better.
And just as a quick aside, just like being a team that recently formed and getting on Studio 40 in your first audition is a really something you guys should be proud of.
We totally are. We're super, like, it's, you know, I feel in some ways like we're super, super lucky. Like, there's a lot of circumstance in.
Yeah.
Just as they were forming, I happened to send a message to the guy who would pull me in.
Yeah.
I think it was Mike and Chris, like, ran into Sarah after a show at the field and just approached her and were like, hey, you were really funny. I think this all face off. And she's like, oh, I'm looking to coach a team. I'm like, well, we have a team. And it's just all these, like, just offhanded, you know, not offhanded, but just very circumstantial things that led to it happening.
Yes.
And to us getting this run when we did. And it's awesome. But I feel like, in addition to the luck stuff, we are, like, we are really putting in the work. The whole the group is really, everyone's pulling their weight and doing a great job.
Super dedicated.
Like, we realize, hey, guys, like, this is a big opportunity. Like, let's try and get as good as we can.
Yeah.
Given these circumstances. So, as far as the bigger picture of, like, where I want to go with it or anything, I think the piece of comedy I'm most interested in, most want to do is, like, podcast-type things. Not necessarily, like, more, I guess, in the audio theater-type thing, but certainly improvised. Like, I just fell in love with the Super Ego podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's improvised. And then they edit it down and add all kinds of sound design. And there's all kinds of cool things you can do when it's just audio because... You know, if you're on a spaceship, you have, like, spaceshipy sounds going by or whatever it is that just make it audio theater. It, like, makes it so much more rich. And I love doing that kind of stuff, and I just want to do more character-y weird stuff with that. I do this for free forever, you know. Like, I currently, I work in restaurants, so I'm kind of supporting myself that way, but I don't have any aspirations of, like, I'm going to move to L.A. and make it to the big time. Like, I don't really have any
interest. I'm going to take my suitcase and get an agent.
I don't have any interest in non-comedic acting at all. I don't have any, I don't really want to do stand-up at this point. Like, I just know the things I want to do right now, and I'd keep doing them for free forever at this point. If it'd be lovely to make some money at it someday, but, you know, for the time being, it's just like, put your head down, get better at it, do more of it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I love improv because it's really good for me who has trouble planning anything or writing anything, so I don't have to do anything homework. I can just show up, and that's great. So I love that. But I also like, I just did stand-up last week, and I really enjoyed that.
Where'd you do it?
At IB, at the Comedy Lottery, which is really fun. It's just 3 minutes, but I really liked that. So I would like to do more of that. And I like comedy writing, too. I have a Mud Hut Tumblr.
Oh, it's great, by the way. if you try to undersell it right now, it's so funny.
I don't even know what a Tumblr is.
It's just like a website. It's a silly website where every day, well, not every day, but Monday through Friday, I do a Mud Hut, and then I do a little story about the Mud Hut. And I really enjoyed doing it, and it's so
silly.
These are
fictional stories?
Oh, yes. They're ridiculous.
I would describe it very much like those one-a-day calendars where, like, you rip it off and there's a different Far Side every day. It's literally just pictures of mud huts, and then she'll caption them or write little vignettes about, like, this mud hut had a hard week.
Yeah.
Go on to explain the details of it. And they're so funny.
Thank you. And I've never done any regular writing before, but it's so silly, but just, like, the act of doing that every day kind of got my creative juices flowing, and I really enjoyed that practice. So I would like to do maybe more of that. And also just, keep performing, keep going, working hard. I think it's just, it's really good for me emotionally to have a creative outlet and live in the moment. I love it.
Are you looking to do more stand-up?
I think so. So I just did it for the first time, and I think that it, you know, I didn't get tomatoes thrown at me.
So, we can talk offline, but the Maggie Show, that features stand-up too, so if you're looking for a spot.
Oh, great. No.
There, and I'm trying to start up a monthly or maybe more than monthly independent stand-up show too, so
nice.
That would be great. It was using a different muscle than improv was, but I still like kind of was like wacky and used character voices and stuff, but I was able to kind of speak in my own voice, which was refreshing because one of the notes I always get is that I'm always Kate on stage. It's just like, Kate mad, Kate sad, Kate upset at this dog.
30s so, Kate.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Kate in the 1930s. So,
but I would argue that that is quite a breadth of stuff. You're not just going, you know, you're not frequently just being like, no, Kate, who's a little tired. It's like all these different colors. And that's fine. That's kind of what you're supposed to do in a way. But I see what you're saying.
Right. Well,
stand-up is a more honest
It's like, able to make me feel less guilty about being just like myself on stage, you know, and then I can use improv for more character work and be a little different.
Cool. You guys want to try to play an improv game?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to put, it's called a made-up movie game. I'm going to put my I've had on shuffle, whatever the next, the name of the next song is, be the title of the movie.
Okay.
We have pitch it.
So between the two of you, as if you were watching a movie on Comcast and you hit the info button, I want you to come up with just a brief plot description of whatever the movie is.
Okay.
And then we'll do a scene or two out of it.
Okay.
Cool?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm hitting shuffle and play. The song is Moondance by Van Morrison. So Moondance is the name of the movie.
Moondance. There's a couple ways to go with it because, like, I don't know, the moon makes me think of, like, Wiccan pagan occult.
Made me,
like,
immediately think of werewolves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a marvelous night for a Moondance.
It is a marvelous night.
So let's imagine you're on the couch.
All
right. For some reason, together watching.
It could happen. Dreams do come true. Someday I'll be on the couch with Will.
What's on TV? Oh, it's Moondance.
It's Moondance.
I see it as an 80s one of those breakdance movies in the vein of like Breakin', where it's like all there's werewolves in this town, and like when the moon comes out, they all like turn into werewolves and then like have their dance off party
right
somewhere in a street.
Yeah. It's a sleepy town in North Dakota, seems perfectly normal, until the 31st of the month when the moon comes out and they all become a little something a little bit strange and a little bit funky. Now we're going to be werewolves.
Hey guys, I don't know about the new kid, Russell. He's really hairy for someone our age.
He sure is, George. I don't know about him at all.
I don't really like out-of-towners in our town.
Where did he say you moved from? Transyl, what?
Wow. Yeah, he traveled a long way, and he has a funny accent. I don't like accents, except for mine.
Yeah, we're very judgmental in this town.
we're very much like the town of Footloose. This is, but we're not, we're, you know, you can dance. Sometimes.
But keep those moves safe, and by no means should there be any biting whatsoever.
No, and also, I don't like a lot of hair, or again, accents, except for mine.
For yours.
Yeah, my accent's fine. Is that Russell over there?
Oh, hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, Russell.
I don't have any friends. I was wondering, can I hang out with you guys? You seem cool.
Russell, that's a very forward thing to ask.
Russell, if you want to hang out with us, you got to learn how to break dance, all right, man? That's what this town's all about.
Oh, but I can. Watch. Ow! Moves.
Oh my god, his hair is growing. He's getting furrier.
I've never seen someone do a spin on their head that long. It was almost 3 minutes.
Ta-da! Oh no! What day is it?
It's the 31st.
Of October.
Yes.
Halloween and a full moon. Oh, no.
Oh, boy. This is the scariest night in all of North Dakota. But we're going to have a dance-off. That's the only thing I can think of.
If I win, can I be part of the clique?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Later. You ate Carol.
I didn't eat all of her.
I can still speak out of the side of my mouth.
I'm so sorry, Carol. I hope you don't hold this against me.
It's okay, but can't be part of the group anymore.
Wait. You already said I could if I win the dance contest.
No, that's right. That's right. He did technically win by devouring half of you.
Well, that was when I still had my whole face. Half face says no.
Oh. It's a lonely life.
Russell, go back to Transylvania.
It's easy.
That's not where werewolves come from.
No, it's not.
Wait, where do werewolves come from?
The woods.
Oh.
I don't know.
Transylvania is like still a country, right? It's not like an ex-Soviet.
Is it even a real country?
No, it's not a real country.
It has to be a real country. Oh, is it? No, all that stuff's about Romania, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Impaler is from Romania. So they made up Transylvania?
I don't know.
There's three people who don't know much about Transylvania right now.
I always used to get confused with Pennsylvania.
Well, I think it means wood in, or like woods, like Pennsylvania was Penn's Wood. The guy William Penn, I think, founded it, I think.
Well, you already know a lot more about Pennsylvania than
so
I
So it would
ever
follow
did.
That there would be a Transylvania, like using it's logic and words.
I mean, you're very logical. You're very logical.
Thanks, Kirk.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about Transylvania. I never got into that vampire scene, but there's always the future.
I hope it's not real, just for the people from there. That like that it's, you know what I mean.
Just
everywhere you go, it's going to be vampire jokes.
I'm shunning all the Transylvania listeners of the podcast. Like, you don't even think we're real.
Transylvania listeners, first of all, we don't think you're werewolves or suck blood, and we know that you're real. Maybe we're not sure.
Your healthcare system's crap, Transylvania. I know what those blood banks are for.
If it is real, it's going to be a big tourist attraction in Romania.
Yeah.
If it is real, people are flocking to it. A lot of goth kids are still there.
People love Salem, which is kind of fucked up because that's where a lot of people died.
Right, in a potentially drug-induced hysteria. And it's just you take your kids there on Halloween and there's like a lady dressed up like a witch and it's spooky and it's like people were murdered. They pressed a guy to death with rocks. Giles Corey?
Yeah, no kidding.
They just put rocks on top of him until he died.
They let women drown because they were witches and they couldn't defend themselves.
It's the worst test for witchery. If you save yourself, you're a witch. But if you don't, you're not a witch. You just die.
I did a thing at there was a show called Cast of Characters. It was like a comedy lab thing. And I did a New England historian who's just kind of like out of touch. And he just loves New England history. But like is constantly glossing over the fact that like it's all about murder and genocide. And like horrible, horrible things. But we have this quaint like, oh, like. I understand the historical value of the things, but it's like, let's go on the Freedom Trail walk, and, like, the guy in the tri-corner hat will, like, you know, teach you about how wonderful and, like, quaint it was. And it's
we
just
gloss
like,
over a lot.
It is murder history.
It's murder history.
Not good things, mostly.
Actually, we should rename history just murder history. The history of lots of murders and how we got here.
I briefly dated in my, like, early 20s this girl that was into, like, Wiccan culture, and she wanted to go to Salem.
I bet your Dorchester family loved that.
They never met her. But we went into like this little witchcraft shop, and I didn't know anything about it, so I would be like looking at stuff like, oh, what is this? And she'd be like, be cool. Just take it easy. Don't act like you're, you know. I'm like, what?
Or something.
I'm sure a lot of people walk in here and are surprised by some of this stuff.
You just go into a Wiccan shop and you just have to be like, I've seen all of this before. Dragon Claw? Typical.
If any of that stuff really worked, they would be in like a lucite case that you couldn't touch them. It's like, hey, if this crystal can really like summon demons, it wouldn't just be sitting out on a shelf with like other tchotchkes. It'd be like guns. It'd
logical
be like
again,
case.
Will.
I'm just saying, like,
logic to the
don't touch the, don't touch the crown of thorns with the gemstones in it. You're going to mess it up.
Oh, a vial of sheep's blood. Yeah. No big deal. Not going to act like that. Strange. That's funny.
So what do you guys want to talk about? You got anything on your brains?
I'm trying to, what do we want to talk about?
Oh man, improv, I guess.
Improv.
That's what we're here for.
Well, we're starting to do, Will was talking before about his love for Super Ego, and we are starting to do our own project that's kind of similar with a couple other people, where we're trying to form it right now. We're just at the beginning, but hopefully that's something that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks or months or...
Yeah, so I have like an audio background doing like at Berkeley doing music and stuff like that, and so... I wanted to use it partially to work with like another group of people. So we got Matt Fear, we got Kelsey Lawler, we got Ryan, is it Piranuzzi? Is that how you pronounce it?
Piranuzzi.
Ryan Piranuzzi.
I have not said his last name.
From Buskow.
Yeah.
And Kate and I right now are like the core group, and they're all just tremendous. Like part of it is also like I want to punch above my weight class. Like I want to work with these people who are like
better
than me.
Really, like such funny characters, and it's been really fun to see them just go crazy. It's been so fun. Yeah.
So the idea is like it's very character based, character heavy. and just doing different, like, either satire or different audio things. We did a scene the other day that was, like, a misconnections radio thing. You just have characters call in and talk about their misconnections. And it's a lot of fun. A lot of stuff gets cut out because we're just, like, spitballing, mm-hmm. and you get a lot of fun.
And I'm laughing the entire time,
yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're serious. Yeah, Kate, that's a problem.
Well, what you notice, the other thing that's cool about it is you learn so much from, like, recording improv and then listening back to it. And as I try to edit it down, because we'll have stuff that runs for like 10, 15 minutes, and that's a lot to ask of someone to listen to.
Yeah.
So to get the timing of everything down, you end up cutting stuff down like to the word. Like, oh, I paused and said for a while. You cut that out. You hear all those things you do. And you also just start to realize like what is important in the scenes, like what's moving the scene along. If your character's just like spouting off about like, oh, well, you know, we've been friends for so long and this stuff has been really great to do with you. It's like not important. Doesn't tell us anything about, you know, unnecessary exposition. And so I'm seeing more of that. But what I would love to get to, like the kind of plan from the start of this, is get a core group of people together, get a set schedule, and then pull people in all the time. It'll be a great opportunity to just be like, hey, funny friend, come here from like every different group. Just invite people, kind of in the way that you've gotten to work with so many people by doing this. Just sit down, talk to them, get there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to have like special guests on every single instance of this thing as it goes along.
And if they have a passionate idea or a character that they would like want to do, then we can like kind of form our scene around them and kind of like let them go.
I want to be Iron Man.
Exactly. Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like, I really want to be a cookie foot.
Yeah, that's, you know.
What
just,
is that?
Just go with it. But that's
it's
the beautiful thing.
It's cookies.
It's the beautiful thing about doing it in audio form, too, is like when things don't work or things become confused, you can play a lot with that. And, you know, it's a delicate line to tread because you're like, oh, it's improvised. Like, every idea will be organically arrived at for the most part. But, like, I'm fine with going in with premise. Like, here's the premise, guys. Like, it's a bunch of people in the softball bleachers yelling at their daughters. Like, go. Like, I love the idea that you can bring a premise in like that.
Yeah.
And then just see what happens. And if one character was just didn't land, you can pretty much cut them out of it. And, like, it's a hybrid of sketch and improv.
I respect the fact that you spend time editing it, because I do not.
No, it takes
very
time.
Little.
As we're midway through it, I realize I wish you did.
Well, we've already backlogged more like scenes that I haven't had time to edit, and we're still recording more. But it's nice because then you can be choosy and you can go through and be like, well, that one was really awesome. Like, I'll spend my time getting that one really polished, and that other one maybe I'll get back to it another day.
Yeah,
that's what I like about Improv for Humans. It's very slickly produced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a way to still get the spirit of improv, but like polish it a little bit.
Yeah,
and it can be. It can sound so good.
I love his technique of like doing the blackout, but with the music. Like, the music will just start playing. They can choose their edit point like after the fact, which is great.
Yeah,
if it went off on a tangent, they don't have to keep that.
I love the. That's kind of where I got the idea for. Oh, that is where I got the idea for Rhythm and Laughs.
Mm-hmm.
They do music episodes where they have artists on and they. Improvise based on that.
I really want to see that show.
Yeah,
it's
you got dates you can plug.
August 8th. I got it, and then in September there'll be another one at the Riot, and there'll also be one at Johnny D's in Somerville.
Oh, cool! That's a perfect.
Nice. Yeah, it is.
I pitched it to IB for general submissions. We'll see if it gets picked up there, but I definitely want to make it a monthly thing, and I want it. Out of any of the projects I work on, it's like the one I want to just get branded and just, I want to start reaching out to artists and having them kind of, really get their fan base going too, so that it can be something that like musical artists can even look forward to performing
at. I think that's great. I love that idea.
Yeah.
So I really,
it's good for audiences too, I think, who, if you're not in the community, it's like, improv, I don't know if I'd see that. Like, why would you go to that versus like sketch? If you haven't seen it before, you don't appreciate like how awesome it can be.
Yeah.
Well, we were even talking about it last night, and I love improv. Like, it's what I'm into. But I see so many shows that like improv group after improv group. Sometimes you're like, all
right,
enough. Even if you get like somebody doing a song in between, it breaks it up. It gives you a little variety in it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, and I think the break is nice. Any kind of break is a little bit nice just to kind of recenter and then like experience something new. If you're just watching like, you know, scene after scene after scene, I think sometimes you can get a little numb.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, we were saying it before, I think before we started recording, but like the variety show thing is like such a good, people are doing it now, and like Rhythm and Laughs, like another one of those pieces.
Just, I love
like,
that.
People bringing in other things. It's good for the community in general, like you were saying, like sometimes you get to the field after show and it's just like, I've talked about improv so much and seen so much of it that like, it's nice to have other things seep in.
Have you, do you host Rhythm and Laughs?
Yeah. So I usually, the format generally is, well, we've done three, and the first two, it was like me and Laura, so we'd have the musician play a song, and then we'd talk to them for a minute or two about the song, just to get some stuff to pull from, make sure we understood what was they were singing about, so we're not improvising based on incorrect assumptions of the lyrics. And then yesterday, it was Joe from Bodega and Good God Women.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah.
I love Joe.
And she was at her show last night.
I know. I love her. She's great.
Yeah, she did a really good job
hosting.
Good God Women is kind of like our sister group, so we're close friends with all of them.
Yeah.
We all kind of came up in the same classes
at the
same time.
That's the show. We're performing with them at the Riot on July 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Joe fan.
There's something, too. Like, my original indie group, Eagle Come, kind of came up with, like, Plus Cow.
Cool name.
It is. We've been trying to think about getting rid of it. Now we don't perform that often, so it's like, might as well stick with it.
No, I think it's funny.
So we did this game at IA. We were all in the IA training center together, and you're just supposed to say some innocuous thing, and then everybody's supposed to go around the circle and mirror it. But put a little spin on it. So it started with one of the members being like, "Eagle, come!" And they put their hand out, and they were calling an eagle. And then by the end of it, like people were like shaking their hand as if they had eagle juice.
Oh.
Like, "Ew, eagle, come!"
Oh, that's great.
So we had our and it, I don't know, it cracked the whole class up.
Oh no, I like the name. I think it's fun.
So our instructor, Kylie Fitzgerald, we had this habit of getting all our instructors like little small gifts at the end of our class. And for some reason, we decided to get her like a vial necklace and we put lotion in it. And the vial had like eagle wings, so it was a vial of eagle gum.
I am so into this. This also seems like something that you would have touched in that wooden store.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, be cool, act like you've seen it, act like you've been there before.
But it's such a weird thing to give to somebody because it's like,
a vial
would
full
you
of lotion is the scariest thing you could possibly get.
It's like, where would you ever wear this eagle semen?
It's a great conversation.
Yeah.
So, like, when it does come up, what a story to have.
Don't worry, it's not semen, it's lotion. Oh, that's so funny. But you were saying when you were saying I think I interrupted you.
Oh.
Like, cool name.
Yeah, so we came up with like Buscow, who's I'm pointing to the next room because we saw them practicing in the next
Buscow
room.
Is near. We can feel their presence.
And some other, you know, a couple other groups, and I think like you guys with Good God Women,
mm-hmm.
like you'll always have that bond as long as you're in the community. Like we kind of started out
together,
and it's
absolutely
cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have like a really, they're really lovely people. I love all them.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. And they're so fun. Just like really good energy.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing a show with them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't get to see them enough. Unfortunately, my work schedule, I work nights mostly, and it's like prohibitive to like every show when your friend's like, hey, come see it. If I'd known about it a month ago, maybe I could have taken it off. But
they just actually have a show that I saw them in a comedy lab, and it was the best performance I've ever seen them do.
Nice.
They were great. They like just really looked. They were just like all. They had, you get all on the same page. I was really. I was really impressed by them. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I just before we go, I want to say Mudhut's names. Should we?
let's read them solemnly.
Let's read them. Awesome. Alex McHale. There you go.
Robert Lamont.
Mike Latterman.
Chris Madden.
Juliet Tripaldi. I think that's it.
Am I forgetting anyone? What if we did?
Oh, man! Kate Huck, just that's me.
Will Jennings.
Coached by Sarah Jane Burns.
Who, again, is tremendous. She said some really nice things about us on this podcast, and she's just terrific. She just got on main stage in Torco and deserves all of it, and she's fantastic.
We are so lucky. I've said that a million times, but we really are the luckiest.
No, that's awesome, and it's very well deserved. So, congrats, guys.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Tom. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks for being here.
All the stuff you do in general, just putting on a tournament, and like you're a huge facilitator, producer in the community, and just taking the time to do stuff like this in just for the sake of the community.
It's great giving people a chance to perform. I mean, that's how everyone gets better, and also like discourages people from being frustrated from not being able to perform, and so I think that you're making comedy better, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. So make sure you check out Mud Hut at Studio 40 on Fridays at 7. Check them out at The Riot on July 31st and August 14th. Check them out at Bait on August 16th. And check Kate out at Maggie's doing a two-person thing on August 5th. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
And thanks for listening. Bye.